and I definitely need my coffee.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
Number two, I told you Lakeside Lodge, they're rocking, they're rolling, they're moving dirt, they're getting ready, and now's the time that they're not going to invent more lake properties like this. I don't think we're going to build more lakes around here. I think that the three lake chain that we've got produces pretty good energy, so there's no more need for more power plants around here. So I don't think we're going to have more lakes. I think that, yeah, I know you're not going to have any lakes closer to Death Valley, and Lakeside Lodge is excited about that. Layton Cubbage and Taj Boyd are two really good friends of mine, and you put a team like this together in this kind of location with this kind of deal, you're going to love Lakeside Lodge. I will tell you, there should be a sense of urgency that a friend of mine on one of the projects right close to Death Valley got in a little bit too late, and he regretted it, ended up having to buy something farther away and paid more for it. So don't have a regret. Call them today just to inquire about what they're doing and how they're doing it. Lakeside Lodge, Clemson.com, the condo tell. You get the condo, you can rent it out the hotel, make some money back on it. It's a really cool concept. And so many great amenities in such a great location. To find out more, it's Lakeside Lodge, Clemson.com. And ask Taz, how is it running that backhoe and that front loader and that kind of stuff? That's a pretty cool picture just seeing that. Really cool stuff. All right, hour number two, we talked Tiger Woods in the first hour. We talked a little bit of Clemson football in the first hour, Fan Appreciation Day, a little bit of the Ohio State stuff, a little bit of the Ryder Cup stuff, a little bit of all that. And then we ended the hour on a note of DJ Durkin. I'm going to get to it. Let me get to William, who's been hanging on forever. Hey, William, I really appreciate you hanging through that break, man. How you doing this morning?
Hey, Mickey. How are you, man?
Man, I'm great. I hope you are, too.
I'm good. Congratulations. I mean that from the heart. I wish you and your wife nothing but happiness and health with that new baby.
That's kind of it. Hey, but, if it's a boy, yeah. Should I name him Kirby, maybe? Herschel, maybe?
No. Name him Dabo, dude.
Come on. All right. Name him Dabo. All right, I got you.
What does Dabo stand for? Anyway? I'm trying to figure that one out. I never have.
It's that boy, by the way. His oldest brother, who was a toddler at the time, pointed to him and said, that boy, kept calling him that boy, that boy, that boy. And so they got into that boy Dabo. Anyway.
Gotcha. Yep. I finally figured out what the rock meant. It's some guy way back yonder. His name was whatever the name of the rock is. I keep forgetting. But
Howard's Rock.
He brought a rock to Clemson. Howard's Rock. He brought, right. brought a rock to Clemson, and you guys, that's where that started from.
Right.
But anyway. I was watching the DVR and all the top 25 college games this weekend. You know, I'm trying to get my football fixed somehow or another this time of the year. I don't know if you can relate or not.
Oh, I can relate big time.
I picked that first Auburn-Georgia game to death. And all I could see, dude, is that Georgia made way too many mental mistakes and Auburn took advantage of it.
Yeah.
But I also watched the Sugar Bowl. I really watched it this time. I'm trying to figure out. Now, you tell me you're a Clemson fan. You watch nobody but Clemson. That front seven y'all got is awesome. I mean, they are just no mistakes. But I'm trying to figure out how Damian Harris and Bo Scarborough and that other Harris guy was busting all them runs on y'all. I mean, I know the secondary was weak and the offense didn't show up. I mean, and I'm sure they'll be a lot better this year. I mean, they look like they will be on paper. I'm just trying to figure out how they broke all them runs on that daggum defense that's so tough.
Well, it didn't.
I mean, it baffles my mind. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they didn't.
Well, I mean, they were. Well, I've seen a few. I've seen a few. It wasn't nothing regular, but I've seen a few. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Alabama was held to 261 total yards.
I've seen that too, also. So.
I mean, it's not like they come out better
on that game.
Well, it's not like Alabama was averaging 444 yards last year, and Clemson held them to 261. Clemson held them to 217 yards below their average, and that's include that game. If you take away that game, I mean, obviously they I can tell you what they're averaging. They were averaging over 460 or so, 470 yards a game, and Clemson held them to 150 yards underneath their average. The fact of the matter, here's what happened, right, is that Clemson got terrible field position. The Tigers couldn't move the ball.
That's true.
They turned it over twice. Alabama had a pick six, and they also had a pick that they took it down inside the 30-yard line. And so they had a 30-yard touchdown drive, and they had a pick six. That's 14 of your points right there. And so the whole thing came down to Clemson's offense couldn't move the ball and were backed up. And Alabama, time and time again, Alabama took the ball over at midfield, right? They're on 40, at their own 45. A couple of those they converted into 20-yard drives and kicked some field goals in there. And then when Clemson got the good field position on their turnover, they had to kick a field goal. It was Alabama played great. They shut down Clemson's offense, and their defense set them up for 14 points, and the game was over. That was it.
Well, now, like I said, I wasn't criticizing. I was trying to figure it out. Because, I mean, how good them guys are trying to figure out what happened, but you just explained it to me.
Yep.
A lot of other things came into play. But anyway, I appreciate it, brother, and congratulations.
Thank
Y'all
you,
have a
buddy.
Good day.
I appreciate it. Very nice of you.
Nice of
you. In the, let's see what I'm saying. Alabama, in the other games outside the Clemson game, averaged 458 yards of offense. In that game, they had 261. Clemson held them to almost 200 yards below their average. They held them 197 yards below Alabama's average. So, it's nothing that Clemson's defense didn't do. If you're going to, Mr. Or 24, Jack Lake Tonto, what, you don't have your watch on?
No.
Flippies?
No, I can't wear anything that you wear.
Flippies?
At the station. I have shoes on.
Flip-flops?
I'd rather not say.
Ask my brother. You hold somebody for 197 yards below their average, you feel pretty good about winning the game.
Absolutely.
The point is that Clemson's offense couldn't move the ball. This came down to Alabama didn't respect Clemson's downfield passing game. They pressed the line of scrimmage. They took away the run. They took away the short passing game. The punter and place kickers, or punters and kickoff guys, had Clemson pinned way down inside their own territory. And Clemson couldn't drive it on Alabama. Alabama's defense was good enough that they couldn't drive the ball on them, and quite frankly, many times couldn't get the ball out of their own end, and then Alabama would take over great field position. It's fairly simple, right, Zach? And in the end, what happened was that Clemson turned it over, a pick six, and then Clemson turned it over on a short field. And that was it. Let me give you just the facts of that, just to make sure we're right on that. Does that make sense, Mr. Or 24?
I'm all over it. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Let me give you just the how it worked out. Clemson, in Alabama's first drive, they did drive it 10 plays, 47 yards, kicked a field goal. The second time Clemson punted, and Alabama took it over the Clemson 46-yard line. And they had a 8-play, 46-yard touchdown drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 10-3. And they take over, back and forth. At the start of the second half, I think I'm right in saying this, Clemson takes over after a fumble and has a 4-play, minus 5-yard drive that turns into a field goal. It's 10-3 at halftime. Alabama comes by right in the second quarter, I should say, and Clemson can't convert on it. So they kick a field goal. Alabama intercepts a pass at 10-6 and returns it to the Clemson 27-yard line. Has a 27-yard touchdown drive. The next series, a pick six. If you go back to when Clemson took over, on their one drive, Clemson took over the Alabama 20-yard line after the fumble. They're down 10-3. Took over the 20-yard line. Went minus 5 plays, kicked a 42-yard field goal. Then held Alabama on a 3-and-out. 3 plays, 3 yards. Got all the momentum in the world at 10-6. Throws a pick. Bama returns it to the 27. They score on 7 plays. Took them 7 plays, got 27 yards and a touchdown. The next drive, 1 play, pick 6. Now it's 24-6. Now the game's over. Right?
Yep.
That was it. The whole ball game came down to three series.
Yep.
And that was it.
I remember. I watched it.
So that's just for for William's standpoint, that's what happened. Stevie is in Simpsonville. Good morning, Stevie. Thanks for hanging on, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. First of all, congratulations. Did I hear right? You guys are expecting?
Yeah, how about that, man, huh? Crazy cool.
Man, that's awesome. I've been off for a week, been on vacation, so I just caught that. So congratulations to you.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. That's kind of you.
How about Tiger's performance, though, man? I know you probably touched on it just a second ago, but goodness, man. He was pin-seeking, maybe a couple of drives here and there on the tail end of his round, but he was right there in the mix. That was fun drama to watch.
It was the best golf tournament I've seen since the 86 Masters. That leaderboard we talked about in the first hour. How about that leaderboard? How about, if you want, Koepka and Tiger, Adam Scott make the comeback, and John Rahm and Francisco Molinari and Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth kind of climbed up in there a little bit, and Kisner and Ricky Fowler, and man, that was Justin Rose. That was amazing seeing Jason Day, those guys at the top of the leaderboard like that. And then all the birdies and all the 330-yard drives and all the guys just stuffing it close to the pins and making these bomb putts, and that's a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun to watch.
Man, that was. Was it Mark Harmon, like, the coach getting upset that all the coverage was on Tiger and not his buddy Brooks? Was he in the Twitter feud or something like that? Isn't that his coach, Brooks
Koepka? Claude Harmon is that. You know what? Oh. You can make that all you want. Who's going to blame a fan for getting excited about Tiger Woods playing well, shooting 64 on Sunday? Like, how can you find a negative with that? So Claude Harmon, I didn't see it. But if he got upset about that, you know what, man? How can I be a negative that Tiger shot 64 on a Sunday and people got excited about it?
Well, because he was saying they're trying to bring back a washed-up golfer kind of thing in the media and on Twitter. So I didn't know if that was a real coach or if that was just somebody signing off and the media kind of getting back at him. But I'd get your thoughts on that. But I'll hang up with one other thought, speaking of the media. What do you think about Coach Muschamp's little tirade about his former affiliate coach and how he reacted to journalistic integrity? And I'll get both of y'all's thoughts off that.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate the phone call. We all have used anonymous sources. And the way you get good information many times is anonymous sources. Zach, I do this all the time, is that a coach that you see in the neighborhood or you see at the grocery store, you see whatever, you see in the golf course, you see whatever, a former coach. I had a former Clemson football coach I've talked to a couple times here in the last couple of weeks who goes to practice a lot. We get, you know, former players call us. You have former players that are friends of yours, and you can't reveal your sources.
No.
So Muschamp is wrong about anonymous sources.
Yep.
In my opinion, what Muschamp was right about is he's loyal to a friend that he thinks he knows. And we don't know everybody. We never know if we know everybody. He's loyal to a friend. I get that. And he is right that if you search long enough and hard enough, believe me, there's a football player at Clemson right now. I don't know who it is. There's a football player at South Carolina right now. I don't know who it is, who's probably not playing as much as he thinks he needs to be playing and can probably tell you some bad quote about the staff. Passing the blame that it's the coach's fault that I'm not playing. And so if you get in touch with the right one, then you can go on online. You can go on TigerNet. You can go on game on thebigspur.com or whatever on Tiger Illustrated. So current Clemson player says Dabo Swinney doesn't know what he's talking about, or South Carolina player. I mean, you're going to get that. Employees at your job, Somebody's mad at the boss.
It feels different still, right? A kid died.
It feels insensitive because a kid died.
Kid died.
Right.
I have no problem with him sticking up for a former staff member of his. I have zero problem with that. I think it's almost it's a good thing that you have loyalty to people that you worked with and people that mean something to you. I have a problem with the way he handled it, the way the question and the way the answer evolved over time for the minute and a half, minute 48 seconds, whatever the video was. I just felt like he could have handled it better. He could have been more sensitive to the situation. He could have understood what he was saying was not going to be perceived well in
maybe so. Eye. Let me point out a different side of it, though.
He's a head coach of a Division I college football team.
Maybe so.
Needs to be better than that.
But let me point out another situation. Another side of it, okay? Because I don't totally disagree with what you're saying. But you say he needs to be more sensitive. Are we to the point where now that we are too sensitive by saying, do you really think that Will Muschamp doesn't care that the kid died, doesn't care that any kid dies, doesn't, you know, because this, that, oh, it's the media's fault. Whatever. I don't think that Will Muschamp was insensitive to the kid dying. I think that we might be too sensitive to what the guy say.
He took the question, and instead of answering it in, you know, a coach speak type of way,
a politically correct way, which we're going to criticize if he talks about politically correct too, right?
Not as much as this. No chance. This is a guy who knows, hey, if he goes the politically correct route, he knows that there's no good of coming from this if I sound off on this, right? He's smart enough to understand that. This is a dumb move. This was a stupid, careless move by the head coach of the South Carolina football team. He took the opportunity of an investigation into his friend and coaching staff, into the death of a kid at camp. A kid that was a part of a team program, a kid whose parents sent him away to play football, not to go die. And he turned it into attacking the media and anonymous sources like a moron, like a buffoon. It was careless. There's nothing more to it for me. It was careless.
I 100% see your side.
Yeah.
I 100% see Will Muschamp's side. That he didn't know the kid, but he knows DJ Durkin. And what is being said about DJ Durkin is a bunch of really bad stuff. And he took up for a guy that he knows because he knows a side of him that's being portrayed. And somebody probably needed to say that too.
Hey, then he goes, you know what? DJ is a good friend of mine. He was on staff for 4 years for me. When I worked with him, we had no problems whatsoever. He was great with kids. He was great with recruiting. I really enjoyed my time with him. I hope the investigation is quick and thorough and it works itself out with the okay. Maryland. That's it.
I agree with that.
That's all you need to say.
But also, too,
slam it.
Can you say that he is right about finding a disgruntled person? To me, it's almost opportunistic that you pile on that now we're going to go find a couple of disgruntled people to say what's going on. You know what? It's easy. Like, I don't know how many people were complaining about before this happened, and a kid died, so now all of a sudden we're going to find people who don't like what's happening there. That's easy, man, you know? Does that make sense at all to you?
I mean, I hear what you're saying. I don't think it outweighs the rest of his comments, the rest of his statement.
I don't think that Will Muschamp's a terrible person who doesn't care about kids and kids' lives.
I don't think that either. I think he...
So why can we take a statement and thinking that, oh, because that's what people probably are thinking and saying now, right?
No, I don't think anybody's saying that.
What are they saying?
That he's an idiot for the way he answered that question. And that's what he is. There's no... Would Dab have answered the question that way?
I don't know.
Just to compare
it? I don't think so.
No, he wouldn't have answered the question that way. There's no chance.
I'm going to finish by saying this.
He's an intelligent human being.
If you put the microphone... you and I say something dumb here every single day,
every
right?
single day, 6 to 9, almost exclusively.
But if you say enough, eventually you're going to say some stuff that, A, didn't come across right, you didn't mean right, I don't know. Again, there's a point in time in here, a point in my things that I'm probably just too naive about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That I'm just too trusting and too naive, and I want to believe the good in people. I don't think Will Muschamp's a terrible person. I don't think that he doesn't care about kids. I do think he does care about DJ Durkin. I do think that somebody needs to come to DJ Durkin defense, a loyal. I don't have any problem with that. I do think that that in any program you can find disgruntled players or disgruntled coaches or disgruntled support people that mm-hmm. maybe didn't get a raise or didn't get a promotion, whatever. You can do that in any organization. And I don't think that anything he said, the timing wasn't right. It wasn't all that smart. But I don't think that makes Will Muschamp a bad person. And Will Muschamp, this hater of kids that is an animal now. I don't believe that at all. I believe that I can understand your point.
I don't think any of that.
So we say dumb stuff sometimes. It's not a terrible thing to say something dumb. It's not the end of the world that he said something that might be a little bit insensitive at the time. You know?
It's a lot insensitive, man.
What's he going to do? Bring the kid back?
No, it's not. Of course not.
I mean, it was an accident. Accidents happen.
Then let's hear an apology for it.
I think they have.
It was an accident with Muschamp's comments, too?
No. Look, finally, QCT makes a good point. And Chad makes a good point on your side. It's called time and place. It wasn't the time or place to attack the media. I agree with that.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he's an animal, he's an idiot, he doesn't like children, he doesn't, like all this kind of stuff. I'm saying he was a moron for that statement.
Chad at Columbia also said, this is why I say Muschamp lacks emotional intelligence. And you know what? I mean, I could kind of agree with some of that. But to jump on now and say that he's part of the problem or he's an idiot. He's, you know what, man, a guy, he was emotional about a friend. Part of me says that if and when I make my next big mistake, which I'm going to at some point in time in the next 30, 40 years, that somebody in my corner is going to have my back and go, you know what, man, the guy's a good guy. You know, he's a good friend. He's a good dude. He tried to do the right thing. He made a mistake. You know, like, that didn't make him a bad guy. He made a mistake. Get off his back. He's a good person. I don't believe DJ Durkin's a bad guy. I don't believe you get to be the head coach at Maryland by being a bad person.
I guess we're going to find out after this investigation concludes, right?
I don't know.
He's on paid leave right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to find that out or not. Anyway. But I do see, I mean, I don't think you're wrong, but I just think that there's, you know, different ways of looking at it too. All right. Hey, Granger Nissan, only one way to look at this place, man. Inventory, inventory, inventory. This inventory is amazing. They're in their biggest year-end clearance deal. They got all these great specials going on. All I want you to do is go to GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com and see this unbelievable amount of inventory. Granger Nissan of Anderson has usually, I'm going to check this here. Usually around 400 cars. Let me see what this inventory looks like right now. It really, truly is amazing to see it. To see these 413 now is what they have on those lots of new and used and of certified pre-owned. So get tailgating machines ready. Compare and contrast all the Altimas and Sentras and Rogues and Titans. Hey, schedule a test drive. And look at these great year-end savings that they're having right now, these model year-end savings that they're having right now. You're going to love Granger Nissan of Anderson, home of a lifetime warranty, home of the proud partners of the Clemson Tigers. It's Granger Nissan of Anderson, 3510 Clemson Boulevard, 324-0650. Short break more after this.
M&L Mobile Home Supplies is the largest retail mobile home parts store in the upstate. They're your source for heat pumps, heating and air replacement parts, doors, tubs, showers, vinyl windows, skirting, decks, water heaters, everything you need. And they'll install vapor barriers, insulated floors, ductwork, and heat pumps. For 32 years, the staff at M&L Mobile Home Supplies has served the upstate's mobile home needs. M&L Mobile Home Supplies, 1128 Bypass in Anderson or online at mnlsupply.com.
Lakeside Lodge Clemson is officially under construction. This condo hotel offers a new way to experience the Clemson family like never before. It has 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units on Lake Hartwell right across from Death Valley. You can use your condo whenever you want or rent it to other Tiger fans when you're away. You better hurry though, these condos are selling fast. Prices start in the mid-200s and financing is available. For more information, go see my friend Taj Boyd at their sales office on Tiger Boulevard next to Ruby Tuesday.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs. Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Hi, this is Coach Dabo Sweeney. You know, when it comes to buying or servicing a vehicle, I always choose Toyota of Easley for their great selection, affordable prices, and outstanding customer service. Toyota of Easley is a family-owned business, and in all the years I've been a customer, I've always been treated like family. I encourage you to visit Toyota of Easley if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle or in need of service. Toyota of Easley is all in, and their name means a great deal.
Whether your adventure takes you to the top of Chimney Rock or the shores of Lake Jocassee or the woods for camping, Elkmont Trading Company in Clemson has everything you need for your next adventure. Serving the upstate since 1995, Elkmont offers fly fishing gear from Orvis and Sims, as well as the area's best selection of kayaks and camping gear, featuring Chacos, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Southern Marsh, Columbia, Yeti, Eno Hammocks, Kavu Rope Bags, Mountain Khakis, and more. Elkmont also has kayaks and stand-up paddle boards for rent, so you can try before you buy. Are you hungry? Try Elkmont's barbecue sandwich or a pint of locally brewed craft beer from one of Elkmont's 16 taps. There really is something for everyone at Elkmont. So remember, if you haven't been to Elkmont, you haven't been to Clemson.
Bill collectors, are they calling, making threats? What is the truth? Don't be afraid. Don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait for them to sue you. Call me, Robert King. I will listen to you, and together we will look for a calm, clear, thoughtful solution to your legal problem.
Thompson & King, 300 South Tower Street in Anderson. Call 222-0200 or online at thompsonking.com. Thompson & King is a debt relief agency helping people file for bankruptcy under the bankruptcy code.
The 105.5 The Roar annual NCAA college football kickoff show is Thursday, August 16th at Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road in Greenville. The whole crew will be on hand to break down the 2018 college football season from 5 until 8 at Twin Peaks, sponsored by Engineered Sleep.
Make your home an ADT home and help protect against break-ins, fire, and carbon monoxide. Get our lowest rate for fast response monitoring, starting at just $28.99 a month. That's about a dollar a day from the most trusted name in home security. Get ADT's tested, trusted, and proven security and service, now at a great value. Don't wait. Call today. ADT. Always there. Now everywhere. Requires 36-month monitoring contract. Early termination, taxes, and install fees apply. Certain markets excluded. See terms and pricing at ADT.com.
Long Heating and Air Conditioning wants you to take advantage of their great summer specials. Right now, buy a Trane or Armstrong air conditioner and coil for just $3,500. Get 20% off any repair, and when you sign up for cooling maintenance, you'll receive the heating maintenance for free this winter. Three great reasons to contact Long Heating and Air. Call 213-9899. That's 213-9899 or online at longheatingandair.com.
The Mickey Flyler Show on 105.5 The Roar.
What we're looking for is a new, fresh voice that'll wake up the people.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
Well, I got a woman way over town that's good to me.
Time now for our Palmetto Golf Report, brought to our great friends at Palmetto Dunes and PalmettoDunes.com. If Tiger Woods and the PGA Championship got you fired up about golf, don't forget right now, still for this month, on Saturdays, you got a couple more Saturdays in this month, between 10 and 3, 50% off your greens fees at the three Palmetto Dunes courses. The Jones course is beautiful. The Fazio course is my favorite, that tree line, old, hard, long, mean, but just beautiful. Old style. And then the Hills course is more of a modern with between the lagoons. This three totally different courses. That's awesome. Get away. Make your Labor Day weekend plans coming up, friends. Your away game weekend plans for Clemson and South Carolina and Georgia football. Do it at Palmetto Dunes and PalmettoDunes.com, the beautiful oceanfront resort in Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. On that Palmetto Golf Report, Stuart Sink has a place here in South Carolina, so we add him to this. He finished fourth at 11 under par. Kevin Kisner finished 8th. He finished 12th. Dustin Johnson, 6 under par. Or sorry, 8 under. He finished 12th. Dustin Johnson, 6 under par, T27. Scott Brown finished 80th. Kyle Stanley and Bill Haas made the cut. Bill Haas trying to get his card, keep his card. Kyle Stanley trying to make the Ryder Cup team, trying to get win the FedEx Cup point playoffs and playoff points. So a lot of great things coming up with the playoffs coming up. By the way, the tour's up at the Wyndham Championships this week, so we'll have much more of that later on. And Lauren Stevenson from Lexington made it to the semifinals of the Women's USAM. So congratulations to the Lexington, South Carolina native. That's our Palmetto Golf Report, brought to our great friends at Palmetto Dunes and PalmettoDunes.com. Hey, again, for Labor Day, here in the month of August, the last two Saturdays, 50% off, some Labor Day tee times, Labor Day accommodations, and then don't forget about the weekends and those away trips if you're not coming to Clemson, Columbia, or Athens. It's Palmetto Dunes, the beautiful oceanfront resort, Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. Let's get some phone calls. We've got three out there now. Toby is in Anderson. Toby, thanks for hanging on, man. How you doing?
I'm good, Mickey. How you doing, bud?
Couldn't be better, buddy. Couldn't be better.
I know that's right. Hey, I don't want to belabor the point about the golf tournament, but I was going to get your opinion on this. When I was watching Saturday, when Tiger was putting for eagle and ended up three putting for par,
yeah.
To me that was a three-shot swing that may have cost him the tournament right there. Because if he'd have made that eagle putt, I mean, they would have been probably a delay on trying to get those people back quiet.
there's a lot of those. The first two holes, they was there. And then another way to look at it, though, is that Koepka missed a lot of short putts beginning that backside, too. That all those guys had those chances in there. But, yeah, if you could have just got one of those to fall to there. How about the ball on the lip yesterday just hanging there before it falls, going to fall in maybe? There's a lot of them in there that could have been, you know, a little bit better. But, it was an awful lot of fun, awful lot of excitement coming out of it.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching it, man. I mean, it was everybody was yelling. And I don't know what you and Zach think, but I would say probably 80% of that golf course was cheering for Tiger.
Oh, at least. And the energy around the place. Not even the people who weren't. You looked at those massive crowds and all those cell phones everywhere and the CBS getting into it and the Twitter world getting into it. I can't wait to see what the ratings of it are, because we saw in the British Open, the highest rated British Open we've seen in 20 years, one of the highest rated majors we've ever seen. Golf needs it. Whether you like it or not, it does create some excitement in there, and golf needs it, and he's doing a great job of we're talking about it on Monday, where before all this, we wouldn't talk about it a whole lot.
That's right. Hey, do you think Justin Thomas got that guy kicked out that he hit in the head with the golf ball?
He probably said something along the lines of War Eagle or something, maybe.
Yeah, told him, hey, man, your head's in the way. How about move next time?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Good point. All right, brother.
That's right.
Always good to
All
hear
right,
from
man,
you.
I'm going to let somebody else get on here, man. I appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Toby. Appreciate the phone call. Leon is in Anderson. Good morning, Leon. Thanks for hanging on, my friend. How are you?
Fine, Mickey. How are you doing this morning?
Couldn't be better. Very blessed.
Yeah, I was just wanting to comment a little bit on the Maryland coach and the kid that died and all that stuff. First of all, we really got to kind of look into or just wait to the investigation to see I'm wondering, because I'm just kind of hearing bits and pieces of it. Was this lineman that was out there running, was it a bunch of other linemen out there, or was it just this guy himself, or was the coach? I mean, some of the interactions of it, do you know anything about actually what was transpiring to cause this?
Yes, it was May the 29th. And I think I think a lot of people probably read the story and think that it happened in this fall camp. This was May the 29th. To my knowledge, I don't think the football staff was out there. I think it was the strength and conditioning staff out there in some summertime workouts. Postcodes, Maryland was not in school, to my knowledge, at the time. So it was like these voluntary workouts, and the strength and conditioning staff was out there. And they were doing 110-yard sprints, and he couldn't finish them. It was a lineman that was having a hard time finishing them. And I don't know what the temperature was. I don't know what his conditioning was and this kind of stuff. But they called EMT with some seizures. He was in the hospital for a couple of weeks, and he passed away on June the 13th. And they have been investigating it since about what they knew and who they knew, if they know anything. Was the guy sick before? Was he dehydrated before? Did he have any conditions of fall before? Did he, what were his physicals like? What was his blood pressure like? We don't know all those things. Those are internal investigations they're doing now. But it was a team workout for the kids that were in school at that point in time, and it was the strength and conditioning staff that was that was out there leading that or monitoring that.
I think a lot of times we have to really look into a lot of that stuff, because most of the time unless this guy, this lineman, was basically telling them straight up that, hey, I can't go now, I'm having problems, and they kept pushing him, that's a whole nother ball game. But if they're out there with everybody else doing their strength and conditioning program, and this guy doesn't show any signs, and he all of a sudden just collapses and stuff, you can't. I don't see how you can just blame the coaches if they didn't know.
Right. Well, Durkin was, to my knowledge, and I would be surprised, I hadn't seen this. I don't know this. I think the staff can be with the team a little bit now in the offseason, but not a lot in there. I don't think the football staff was there. I think this was the strength and conditioning staff. And here's the thing, Leon. It's easy to sit back and say, boy, what was going on there? The kid died and the staff doesn't care about football. Maybe. Maybe they don't care about their players. But was the kid out of shape to begin with? Was the kid having an illness that we don't know about? Was the kid, did they push him too hard? Did he push himself too hard without telling anybody in advance of this? His temperature was 106 degrees when they got him. Was it higher starting in that day? Did he have some sort of fever going in the day? We don't know those kind of things. Now, as a result, what has happened since then is that some of the players, you know what? There's a disgruntled player or two that now talks about it. Well, if you lost one of your best friends and now you're seeing, hey, wait a minute, the strength and conditioning coach were pushing us anyway. They're yelling at us and screaming at us anyway. Then, yeah, you might be disgruntled about it, man. You might say, hey, wait a minute, they're abusive here. They don't care about us here. I can certainly see that. I wouldn't blame a kid for losing one of his best friends on a team and looking back on it going, man, that guy was always yelling at us. He was always humiliating us. I can certainly see that happening.
Well, like I said, I don't really know. Like I said, I don't really know the in and outs of it. And, you know, I hope that it doesn't come out that these coaches wrongfully did this kid and caused this kid to die or whatever the case may be, because, I mean, that's just another bad situation. And we send our kids to these schools and different things expecting that these adults, they are going to teach them and put them in the best situation. And as I told you before, you know, I got my daughter is out in the Air Force, and, you know, we put my daughter's hand, put her life in her superior's hands and everything, hoping and praying that they always put them in a good situation and not have stuff to happen to them. So it's just unfortunate that this stuff has to happen. It's life, but I just hope we get to a point to where if you're getting paid all this money, you make sure you handle yourself and carry yourself in the utmost way that would be in the best interest of these children, because, like you said, they are still children. I take it coming off the air.
Thank you, Leon. I appreciate the phone call. I watched Nick Saban. So, like I told you, they got this thing called Rolling with the Tide or something. It's Alabama football. You watch Hard Knocks all the time too, right?
Yeah, I try to keep up.
Football coaches, strength coaches. I've had personal trainers stand over me and yell at me and scream at me. Had strength and conditioning coaches yell at me and scream at me, trying to do better. And, you know, we've had military. I was never in the military. But your military leaders in boot camp, and they're trying to yell at you, scream at you to motivate you. I watched Nick Saban the other night say this. Say, it's our job in this camp to see how far we can push you and to see what your limits are to where you're going to break.
Sure.
The Clemson just sent this thing out on their social media thing about a Navy SEAL that says it's when you tap out of the Navy SEALs, you ring the bell. That it, when it gets too cold, too hot, too tough, mentally too tough for you, then you got to ring the bell and get out. And Clemson's video was, don't ring the bell.
Wasn't Clemson's itself. It was a fan video. But yes, I know what you're talking about.
So I think that wasn't Clemson's?
I believe it was Sons of Clemson.
Maybe. Okay. But all that time, every single Nick Saban, if a player died at Nick Saban's camp now, you go back and watch that video, they're going to say, we're going to find out what your breaking point is. And so we come on there and go, Nick Saban, this kid's breaking point ended his life. I don't think that's fair, man. I don't think they meant to kill the kid. I don't think maybe sometimes accidents happen.
Of course they didn't mean to kill the kid.
I don't think that DJ Durkin and his staff of trying to push, physically and mentally push guys, mistakes happen. They made a mistake. They should have recognized it earlier. Absolutely, 100%. But to say that, to go find a player or two that's now disgruntled, can you see this? My guy died. Looking back on it, why did that strength coach humiliate us by yelling at us like that, calling us these names, screaming at us? It's easy to find that now.
The question we have to ask ourselves is, we know that it's a coach's job to get you to that limit, to see how far you can go. How much of the responsibility falls on the coach to be responsible for your safety up until that point and after it?
It's easy to find that after the fact. Hopefully find it before the fact.
I understand that. Yeah.
Right. I mean, how many parents out there wish they wouldn't let their kid drive the car, give the kid a phone for a text message? How many parents out there wish they wouldn't have done, you know, everybody's got hindsight of wish I wouldn't have done it this way. I'm sure Maryland feels that way right now. But I just think, see the point where now we're going to go talk about the culture. Well, I got to tell you, man, maybe I'm wrong. You're a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in those. Well, Clemson had a wrestling program, seeing the old coaches down there and how they pushed those guys in that hot room of trying to lose weight. And there was a lot of yelling and screaming going on. and I've been in that weight room where there's a lot of yelling and screaming going on. I've seen those guys run hills and run 40s and run hundreds. A lot of screaming and yelling going on, and it could very easily be interpreted as, man, these guys are intimidating us. These guys are humiliating us. It's a culture of, you know, we don't, as fans, you don't want to see what goes on in these things. Now, not every school does it that way. There's more than one way to do it. It's not the right way to do it, the wrong way to do it. But I think it's easy to pile on now and go back and go, Maryland had a culture that wasn't fair. But you know what? It's bad to say, but there's 114 other guys that didn't die. And I don't know if we can say the same thing about 114 300-pounders that might be running. And you know what? I mean, people, I don't know. I just can't sit and think that DJ Durkin is this terrible guy as a result. We got to take a break. Prime Lending, PrimeLendingSC.com. I'm on their site right now. I got to tell you, it is amazing what they do and how they do it. And I love the fact that they are helping so many people right now. And in this time of year where Prime Lending is doing a great job of matching families with loans that help them. Mark Hawkins, they live for this, man. They love this stuff. They're amazing at it. His team really is amazing at it. And what they want to do is start a conversation with you right now. 349-0160, Prime Lending, PrimeLendingSC.com. Let them show you why. 96% customer satisfaction. You can't get 96% of people to agree that today's Monday. 96%. Over 500,000 happy homeowners. One of the top 10 lenders in the country. That's what they're saying about Prime Lending right now. Start a conversation. See where you are. See if they can help you. PrimeLendingSC.com. More of Reaction Monday after this.
The countdown is on. 19 days till Clemson football.
Jackson against shotgun. Takes a snap. Hands it off. McMillan coming right side. And he'll get across. A 50 fumble the football. It comes loose. Clemson saying they have it. Clemson saying they have it at the bottom of the pile, waiting for the officials to say so. And now they say they do.
On the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, we are WCCP 105.5, The Roar.
If you ever wanted to buy or build your dream home, now is a great time. Hi, I'm Christy Ross with Ag South Mortgages.
And I'm John Foster with Ag South Farm Credit. We offer low fixed rate loans on land, farms, and home construction.
Whether you want to buy a home or just land, in town or in the country, Ag South has a program for you.
Call us at 864-226-8507.
That's 864-226-8507.
Equal House Lender, NMLS 480-519.
Calling all superheroes. Do you wish there was a way to make extra money while helping others in need? Now is your chance. BioTest Plasma Center in Clemson is seeking plasma donors who will be compensated for their time and travel. New donors can earn $50 on each of their first five donations. Repeat donors earn up to $310 a month. Walk-ins welcome. Become a superhero and save lives. Schedule your appointment and get more info at biotestplasma.com. Again, that's biotestplasma.com.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors and handymen. Harbin Lumber will walk you through the project from start to finish, providing your order in full and on time. Harbin Lumber will partner with you and find solutions that will not create costly issues and problems later. Call today at 353-5053. That's 353-5053. Harbin Lumber Company. All they need is an opportunity. They will earn the rest.
Quark here for Hendrick Honda Easley. I've owned my Accord for several years, and I can tell you a Honda's the way to go. Hendrick Honda Easley has been in business 25 years, offering their customers a fair, fast, easy, and transparent experience. After you've purchased your new or pre-owned vehicle from Hendrick Honda Easley, believe me, their staff from service to finance is behind you 100%. See Hendrick Honda Easley online at HendrickHondaSC.com or in person at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of our roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Did you know that just 1 gallon of used motor oil can contaminate 1 million gallons of water? Recycling used motor oil saves valuable energy. 2 gallons of used motor oil can generate 36 kilowatt hours of electricity. That's enough to run your TV for 180 hours. Recycle your used motor oil at Greenville County's residential and waste and recycling centers and Twin Chimneys landfill. For more info, call 243-9672. That's 243-9672. Online at greenvillecounty.org.
The Clemson-Carolina game will be rebroadcast this Saturday at 10 a.m. on WCCP. This commercial-free broadcast is brought to you by Long Heating and Air, providing comfort to your home with 100% satisfaction. Catch the Clemson-Carolina game this Saturday at 10 a.m.
Back to school, back to Target. This is the year you go the extra style. With looks from Cat & Jack, Umbro, C9, and more. If your kids want to be it, you can theme it. Overalls for art lovers. Next level tees for gamers. Sporty looks for first day goals. Unicorn hoodies to astronaut socks. Your kids can rock it from head to toe. Target has back to school covered. With Cat & Jack uniforms 20% off in the Cartwheel app. Offer valid through Saturday.
With the college football season just days away, have you secured a tailgate spot for your RV or motorhome? No doubt you're finding them harder to come by and increasing in price. Get on the phone right now and call the brand new Clemson RV Park at the Grove, 864-228-2858, or online at clemsonrv.com. Just 4 miles from Death Valley, Clemson RV Park at the Grove offers paved sites with full hookup including water, sewer, and 50-amp electrical service. They're level sites and golf cart friendly as well. The owners themselves are seasoned tailgaters just like you. At just $235 per weekend, you better move fast or you'll be parking on the side of the road, if you're lucky. Clemson RV Park at the Grove. You want to be all in with a worry-free, exciting tailgating experience this season. ClemsonRV.com or call 864-228-2858. Camping or tailgating, you want to be all in at Clemson RV Park at the Grove. Online at ClemsonRV.com or call 864-228-2858.
The Mickey Weiler Show on 105.5 The Roar.
Not cool, man.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Roto-Rooter wants to be there for you. Proudly owned and operated by proud Clemson alumni here in the upstate of South Carolina, also in Western North Carolina. If you have any issues, this should be a simple, simple thing for you. I'm going to give you a phone number here at the end. You might not remember. I'll tell you right now, 288-7686. But when your toilet's flooded, when your septic tank overflows or stopped up or jammed, whatever, when you're anything breaks in your home, like your pipe bust, whatever, you're not going to remember that number, 288-7686. You can remember rotorooter.com. You'll do it on your smartphone. You'll do a Google search. Remember it. Put it in there. They're going to take care of you 24-7. They don't care if Tiger Woods was on fire yesterday and Koepka played great. They don't care. They're just going to be there for you. It's our great friends at Roto-Rooter. Roto-Rooter.com. Let them solve all of your plumbing needs. It's your friends at Roto-Rooter.com. All right, I got a couple of phone calls here in this segment on a Reaction Monday. Snap Hook and then Fear of the Turtle. Good morning, Snap Hook. Thanks for hanging on, my friend. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good, Mickey. How are y'all?
Fantastic. Couldn't be better.
Man, apparently Mrs. Snap Hook's driving a dump truck again because she's running cars off the road here on 35. It's awful.
I hope she's not listening.
Listeners, y'all look out there. I mean, she's cut loose.
I hope she's
not listening. Just let you know.
You don't ride with her, right? You don't ride in the car with her?
Heck no. There's no way. Brother, if I'm on the side of the road, if I got a flat tire, my car breaks down, I'm calling my 16-year-old daughter before I
That's
call my
crazy.
Wife to pick me up.
That's crazy.
That's the truth.
Goodness
That's
gracious.
Maybe even my 12-year-old daughter. Maybe. It all fits.
Probably says the same thing about you.
She swerves like Tiger Woods hit a driver yesterday on the front.
Daggone. My goodness. That ain't good.
I know. 32 on the front, Mickey, and missed every fairway. How'd that happen?
That's hard to do. Faldo said it's the greatest 9 holes he's ever seen.
I agree. No doubt.
You know what that is? That's willing it in the hole. Hey, remember this stat book I talked about, how Tiger physically is one thing, but Tiger's is going to will himself back. What you saw in the front nine yesterday, Mr. Or 24, is Tiger willed the ball in the hole, and his mind allowed him to compete. He even mentioned afterwards, he goes, that was my mind. That was not my body. My body couldn't do it, but my mind got me back in this golf tournament.
And it makes you wonder if he's got the mind to do it again, or was that his?
No, he certainly does.
One last shot.
He's 42. His mind is fine.
Yeah.
This is the beginning again.
I mean, it was impressive, Mickey. It was one of the few times it was vintage. It was. Yeah. I mean, I was actually kind of pulling for the guy. You know, I mean, it was impressive. I wonder if Brooks Koepka out driving, or not Brooks Koepka, but Gary Woodland out driving him by 20, 30 yards, kind of got his head, got his tempo up off the tee.
Good
it
point.
It looked like he was just overswinging.
Tiger didn't like getting out driven, but I'm going to tell you, Woodland's going to do it, and Kepi's going to do it, and Dustin's going to do it. There's some guys out there that just a younger, stronger, bigger, faster, they're going to do it now, but maybe that got in his head a little bit. Maybe.
Imagine Rory being 7 inches shorter than you, took you by 20 yards. Mm. That's got to be kind of humbling. You know?
I'm used to that in my golf game now, though. I don't mind that.
Oh, come on. We know better. We know better. Mm-mm. You're still getting them out there, what, 320, 330?
Nope, not happening. Not happening. Never did anyway, so I'm not going to do it now at 50.
I just want to give the listeners a heads up. If y'all coming through the construction on 385, I'll be fearing for y'all live.
A texter said, you better be sleeping with one eye open now.
I've been sleeping with one eye open for 20 years, brother.
Have a great day, Snapbook. Appreciate the phone call. Mr. Orr24. I tried to tell you, his mind will him back into golf tournaments now.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll try to tell you here. You don't listen to me.
I won't do it.
Fear the turtle. Man, I thought about you this weekend.
Good morning.
I hate what's going on with it right now. I hate hearing all this stuff.
Well, I told Zach when I just called, I figured you might have some questions. I've read the board quite a bit since Friday after playing golf, so...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Did they, again, a lot of people don't know, this happened in the end of May and he died in the middle of June. Was it just strength and conditioning staff that was out there, and was this a team event?
It was, from what I could read, it is right now just the strength and conditioning. There's not been a confirmed rumor that Durkin was there. I will say, as a fan, no matter what team I root for, I celebrate the good points, and I'll call out the bad points, too. And as much as I'm a fan of Durkin, if he happened to be sitting in the stands watching this, then he needs to be fired.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. There is no other way around it. That being said, they videotape their practices, so I'm sure there's videotape, and that's why that it hasn't come out yet.
Right.
Which would be certainly damaging. So, but that hasn't been released yet.
Are we questioning the procedure? Did they call EMS early enough? Did they have enough medical people on staff out there? Or are those some of the things that people are questioning right now?
The thing that the McNair's lawyer is questioning, and he's a really good lawyer, is that there is about an 82-minute gap between what happens before EMT gets there.
Right.
And nobody knows.
Let me ask you this. I've got about a minute or so. Let me ask you this. What happens? Where do we go from here? What's the end game here? What's the result?
I don't know. Until everything comes out, because the lawyer has their investigation. The university is doing an in-house investigation and an out-of-house investigation. You know, everybody's quick to judge. Honestly, Mickey, I don't know. If I think the Dinich piece was fed by the McNair's lawyer, it came off as kind of a hit piece. If the culture was so toxic, then why did guys like Isaiah Prince and Derwin Gray and some other guys come back? I don't know if you noticed yesterday, but Durkin was getting a lot of love from ex-players. I mean, there was one player in the Dinich article that said that Durkin took him to another room after a meeting and called him the P word. And then one of the guy's friends, Roman, I don't remember Roman's last name, but he said, you won't find in that piece that that the guy's my good friend, and he was in the back on his iPhone and laughing while we were having the meeting. So yeah. That's why Durkin called.
Right, right. No doubt about it. Hey, man, I got to get top of the hour break. Keep us up to date if you can, okay?
All right, you got it, Nick.
All right, thanks. Yeah, again, it's easy to get one side of a story. We learned that in the past. It's easy to get one side of what happened. And we form judgments on what we see, no doubt about it. We do it all day, every day. I'll continue this thought, your phone calls, your texts, your tweets. We call this Reaction Monday. We'd love to hear from you on all three sides of things. With Zach Orr, I'm Mickey Plyler. We would absolutely...